We're going to have a short word from the Word of God, and then we're going to move into our baptismal service. Praise the Lord. He is good. What I'm going to share with you briefly tonight, the title of it is Reign. Hallelujah. Reign. Reign as in a king reigns over the earth. Hallelujah. He is good. He is good. Wow, what an inspiring and wonderful testimony. God is good. I want you to turn in Revelation chapter 5. And we're going to read there. And I'm going to give a little bit of a background before we read the passage of scripture that we're going to read from Revelation 5. Revelation 5 speaks about a book, a sealed book that no one was able to open. And that book contained the releasing of the will of God, of everything that God wanted to accomplish on the earth in the end days. So we need to understand that as we read this passage so that we can understand the significance and the power behind it. Okay? This book that was in the right hand of him who sat on the throne, that was sealed, that was shut, it contained everything that God was going to do, that God was going to release his judgments and the release of his kingdom on the earth in the end times. So here initially we're going to read from Revelation chapter 5, verses 1 through 5. It says, I saw in the right hand of him who sat on the throne a book written inside and on the back, sealed up with seven seals. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, who is worthy to open the book and to break its seals? And no one in heaven or on the earth or under the earth was able to open the book or to look into it. Then I began to weep greatly because no one was found worthy to open the book or to look into it. And one of the elders said to me, stop weeping. Behold, the lion that is from the tribe of Judah, the root of David, has overcome so as to open the book and its seven seals. Hallelujah. I don't know what you see when you look around the world today, but what I see when I look around the world today, I see a lot of suffering. I see a lot of injustice. I see a lot of evil that is happening on the face of the earth. You know, and many times people have questions. If God is good, why is there so much evil on the face of the earth? You know, and that I believe is a good and fair question. And, you know, as we read this passage, we can begin to perhaps understand it a little bit better because the things that we see on the face of the earth are not all according to what God desires for mankind. There are some things that are happening, such as stories of redemption, such as stories of power. We've heard the testimony of one. We're going to see three young lives brought under the baptismal waters, and God is touching those lives very, very powerfully. Pastor Dave and Justin and I sat with them as we were preparing them for baptism, and I know some of what is taking place in their lives. So we see some things that are according to the will of God happening on the face of the earth, but we see much evil. Would you agree with that? We see a lot of things that are not, they cannot be in line with God's perfect will for mankind. And the problem is that God has given mankind free will, and we are able to choose our own way, but we're also free to suffer or enjoy the consequences of those decisions. And many times those decisions do bring suffering instead of joy into our lives. And so we find John, he's sitting in, he saw at the right hand of the one who sat on the throne, that is the Lord God, that is the Creator, the one who's sitting on the throne. And he understands that this book contains the revealing and the unfolding of God's will on the earth. There's an angel that asks, is there anyone that can release it on the face of the earth? You know, right now, I believe that there is a stronger cry rising up in the heart of mankind to see justice established on the face of the earth. I really believe that that is something that is happening, you know, in every nation that I go. I travel in many nations across the world, and there's just an upheaval. When I go to Brazil, I see, for example, I see the upheaval there because of, you know, the injustices in the government system and the corruption and the desire to bring justice and correction into that country. And I see that in other countries. I was hearing from Cameron Bryce this last week. He is a missionary in Nicaragua. He says the very same thing is happening there. You know, and wherever you go across the face of the earth, there is that frustration. There is that question. There is that desire that there would be justice on the earth. That there would be something that would come forth. It that would express justice and righteousness on the earth. You know, and the problem is that many times we're looking to the wrong source for that to happen. The problem is sometimes we're looking for the government of man to establish righteousness when, you know, necessarily the governments of men, they are governed by imperfect people, okay? And as well-intentioned and as well-meaning as they may be, they remain and we remain imperfect people and not able to establish perfection and justice on the earth in the way that we would all like to see happen. And so this is the question that is coming forth, because in this book, there is the revelation and the unfolding of justice on the earth. And, you know, there is this question, who is able to establish that? And the first thing that I want to say about that is that, as it says in the Bible, there was no one found on the earth, beneath the earth, that was able to establish and reveal and release and unfold the will of God, which is justice, on the earth. There was no one who was able to do that. There will be no government system that will be able to establish that perfection and that justice on the earth. We will have, at best, you know, fallible people doing the best that they can. Because the solution, you know, as we kind of heard in a humorous way, is not in the Republican Party or the Democratic Party or in any other party. You know, none of the people that represent either one of those parties or any other party were found able to unfold the will of God on the face of the earth. Okay? There is no one who was found worthy to release God's perfect justice on the earth. And so that strong angel asked that question, and no one in heaven or on the earth or under the earth was able to open the book or to look into it. You know, and so, as it says in Romans, even the very creation is looking forward to the manifestation of the sons of God, to the establishing of his kingdom on the earth. Even the creation is not functioning as it should at this time, according to God's word, according to the Bible. And so no one in heaven or on the earth or under the earth was able to open the book or to look into it. You see, and this is why this search has been so frustrating. You know, we put our hope in this candidate or in that candidate or in this system or in that system, and after a time, they all come short. They all are found lacking. You know, I remember Pastor Wade and I were in Central America almost 40 years ago when there was a revolution that happened there, and the past corrupt government was kicked out of power, and a new government was ushered in that was going to be perfectly fair and just and equal in every way. You know, that was the ideal. That was what was proclaimed. That was what was said. You know, and here we are 40 years later, Pastor Wade, and now the people of Nicaragua are once again rising up And they're kicking out the one that was supposed to establish justice, okay? Because all of these man's systems are ultimately going to be found wanting. They're ultimately not going to be enough, okay? And so it says here that John, I began to weep greatly because no one was found worthy to open the book or to look into it, okay? And so basically John is weeping because it seems like injustice is going to continue to prevail on the earth because no one can open the book and unfold and reveal God's perfect plan, which will end up in summarizing everything under Jesus Christ and releasing justice on the earth and then in heaven. Okay? There will be a time of his reign on the earth because no one was found worthy to open the book or to look into it. And it seemed like the earth was doomed to a continuation of failure and of lack and of disappointment and of shame. But then it says, one of the elders said to me, stop weeping. Behold, the lion that is from the tribe of Judah, the root of David, has overcome so as to open the book and its seven seals. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Finally, one has come who has been found to be worthy to open up the book, which reveals and unfolds and brings forth God's will on the earth, okay? And why is this one able to do that? Why is he able to reveal, unfold, and release the will of God on the earth? Because he perfectly obeyed the will of God while he was on the earth during all of his life. And we speak of no one other than our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. He has been found worthy. See, no one else could release the will of God on the earth because no one else has perfectly walked it out. No one else has released it or lived it in their own life first. He is worthy to be King of Kings and Lord of Lords over the earth, and to establish perfect justice and righteousness on the face of the earth because it was done firstly inside of him and now it will be released through him. In the fullness of time, Jesus will bring forth the will of God, the justice and righteousness of God on the face of the earth and for all eternity. Why is he found worthy to do this? Because he lived it himself. Amen. He lived it himself. He obeyed the Father perfectly in every circumstance of life, even unto death and death on a cross. That is what he did. And so now he has been found worthy. Amen. So the angel said to John, the one that is recording Revelation, he said, stop weeping. Don't cry anymore. Amen. You know, and that's the first thing that I want to really emphasize from this passage tonight. It is not time for weeping, okay? It is not time for us to complain. It is not time for us to murmur. It is not time for us to be living in disappointment. It's not time for us to be in frustration. That is not the time that we are living in because Jesus has been found worthy. He has overcome. What has he overcome? He's overcome every temptation and every desire to disobey God the Father. Amen. Because he perfectly obeyed God the Father and then sacrificed his life on the cross, his blood is the atonement for our disobedience. Amen. His blood is the price for our disobedience. He now has the authority and has had, since he was raised from the dead, to remove the guilt of our sin and to make it as if it had never been in the eyes of God. To cast it as far as the east is from the west. That's why when someone comes in, as Amy was talking about, and maybe they made a mistake or two, you know, in their past, maybe that happened, maybe it didn't. You know, sometimes we see things, sometimes we don't. And none of that matters, okay? Because if we put our faith in Jesus Christ, he cast our sin, our failures, as far as the east is from the west, never to be remembered anymore. So it's not time to be weeping anymore, because he has overcome. And if you are a Christian that truly believes in the Word of God, it's not time for us to be looking for a quick escape from the earth. It's time for us to be praying and longing for the establishment of his kingdom on the earth. Hallelujah. This is what he told us to pray. Your kingdom come, your will be done, only when we go up to heaven. That's what he prayed, right? No. He said, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Amen. Now, how many of you believe that the Lord would teach us to pray a prayer that he does not intend to answer? Okay? No, I believe and I know that if he taught me to pray this prayer and he taught you to pray this prayer, he taught his disciples to pray this prayer, it's because there will be a fulfillment and an answer to that prayer. Amen. He said, this is how we should pray. Amen. The lion from the tribe of Judah. Hallelujah. He died as a sacrificial lamb, but I'm telling you, he's going to come back as a mighty, powerful, all-conquering lion of the tribe of Judah. Now he is coming back, not to pay the price for our sin, but to bring the kingdom of justice and righteousness here on the earth. Hallelujah. So if you really believe in the Word of God, it's not time to weep. It's not time for us to be weeping and to be disappointed every time that someone that is currently in power makes another mistake. Okay? Because our hope and our confidence is not in them. They are just instruments. Okay? We are to pray for them. Whatever party they may be in. We are to pray for them. Okay? We should pray for them. Praise the Lord. The lion that is from the tribe of Judah, the root of David, has overcome so as to open the book and its seven seals. All right? Part of the fruit of the victory of Jesus on the cross and through his resurrection was he obtained the right to reveal, unfold, and release the will of God on the earth. Okay? Amen. Thank you, Lord. You know, and so as we see what's happening currently in this life, you know, we don't let that get us down, because we know a day is coming when he is going to return and he's going to establish his kingdom on the earth, and there will be perfect justice on the earth for 1,000 years before there's ever any eternity. We know that. That's what the word says. Amen. So this is part of the victory. It wasn't just to pay the price for my sin, but it was to establish justice and righteousness and his kingdom on the earth. He has won that right. Now, one more passage and we're going to close and we're going to move into our baptismal service. Will any of you say amen to that? Pastor Wade, I'll never forget that one night in Honduras. I'm thinking about Central America now. Pastor Wade got up before the congregation after praise and worship, and he said to the people, I really think it was more because of his Spanish than for any other reason. And he said, he was introduced as the speaker, and he said, brothers, my words will be few tonight. And someone that had still not yet recovered from praise and worship and was still in the spirit, some kind of spirit, shouted out, hallelujah! Thank you, Jesus! I'm afraid the meeting never recovered from that. Amen. Revelation 5, 9 through 14. Okay? Breaking into the middle of the passage for time's sake. Revelations 5, 9 through 14 say, and they sang a new song. These are the people, the redeemed, saying, worthy are you to take the book and to break its seals. For you were slain and purchased for God with your blood, men from every tribe and tongue and people and nation. Hallelujah. Tonight we're going to be baptizing three people because Jesus obtained the right to purchase lives with the very precious blood. His blood poured out on Calvary. These lives that are going down into the baptismal waters, they are declaring that their lives are no longer their own, that they have been redeemed, they have been purchased by the Lord Jesus Christ, and they now belong to Him. When we say that Jesus is Savior and that He is Lord, what we're really proclaiming is, He saved me, and now I belong to Him to do His will, to be a part of His kingdom, first here on the earth and then the everlasting kingdom in heaven. We don't call Him Lord just as a polite title. We have now become citizens of a kingdom. He is the King. He is the Lord. And we are the ones who belong to Him, who are here on the earth to do His will. That's part of what's being proclaimed in these waters in just a few brief minutes. Hallelujah. With your blood, men from every tribe and tongue and people and nation. And Pastor Wade, lest I forget, there must be people from every tribe and tongue and people and nation that come to believe in Jesus Christ before He will return. That must happen. And then he goes on saying, you have made them to be a kingdom and priests to our God, and they will reign in heaven. Hallelujah. They will reign and walk on the streets of gold. Is that what it says? They will reign in the new Jerusalem. No, they will reign upon the earth. Hallelujah. Kingdom and priest to our God. Thank you, Father. I feel unusually tricky tonight. Okay? They will reign upon the earth. Amen. Tell your neighbor, you ain't getting out of here till you learn to reign. He's not trying to withdraw us in a desperate attempt to save us. No, He's trying to teach us to reign upon the earth. Hallelujah. Now, you see, here's the thing. What is it that is reigning on the earth? If we are representatives of His kingdom, okay, and His kingdom, the purpose of a kingdom is to demonstrate the will of the King. Okay, what is it to reign upon the earth? Well, brother, I think it's to have 73 pink Cadillacs that I drive around. That's reigning upon the earth. No, that's not what reigning upon the earth is. That's a waste of a lot of money. Okay, that could be much better used to help people and to reach people with the gospel of Jesus Christ. No, reigning upon the earth, you know, if we're here to see His kingdom come and His will be done, His will or reigning on the earth is to live His will for our lives. Okay? We're priests, which basically means that we are those that represent earth to the Lord and bring the Lord here to the earth. We're His ambassadors. Okay? We're priests. And we're also a kingdom. Amen. Hallelujah. So here's the thing that I want to touch as we begin to draw to a close is this. Jesus obtained the right for you and I to have unfolded before us what His will is for our lives. I mean, He obtained the right not only for us, But as we read earlier, he obtained the right to the unfolding of all the will of God on all the face of the earth. But that will have its first expression in the lives of those who belong to him. Amen. That will have its first demonstration. You know, what we're really supposed to be doing as Christians, you know, is not trying to hold on till the Lord returns. What we're really supposed to be doing, we're supposed to be a precursor, a pre-announcing of what is coming. Amen. We're supposed to be a demonstration that shows others that the kingdom of God is coming near. And that we are living his will on the earth now at this time. Okay? Now, the devil does not want us to live the will of God here on the earth. And so he struggles against us in every way to keep us from living the will of God on the earth. To keep us in turmoil. To keep us in oppression. To keep us in fear. To keep us in anxiety. To keep us in worry. To keep us beneath what God's will is for us on the earth. Why does he want to do that? Because in that way he diminishes the witness that we are giving of the kingdom that is coming to the earth. Amen. What was it that you heard from Amy? You know, as Jesus became her king, depression has to leave. Why? Because there's no depression in God's eternal kingdom in heaven. Therefore, he doesn't want it here on earth either. Now, that is not stated as an accusation. That is stated as our citizenship right to walk in. That doesn't mean that we start from the position of full victory over all these things now. It means that we have the right to open the book of his will for our lives here on the earth through him, through Jesus Christ. And Satan is powerless to stop it. He has no power or no authority to keep back from you what God's will is for your life here on the earth. He has established us as kingdom, as a kingdom and as priest here on the earth now. Amen. He has been given the right to break open the book of the will of God for your life. And for my life, and to unfold it. And it does not matter what my background is. It does not matter what are the things that stand against me. It doesn't matter what are the resistances that come against me. It does not matter what the disadvantages are that I have suffered in this life. Jesus Christ has obtained the right to open the book of all the pages that he has written over your life, and the devil is powerless to stop it. As we look to him, all he can do is divert our attention from him. Okay? He can take our attention away from him so we do not see what the Lord is revealing over us. But this is the truth, guys. Because we are a kingdom and priests on the earth, God wants to unfold the book of the will of God for your life. And in those pages are wonderful things. These children, these young people that will be baptized tonight, every one of them is special and important in the eyes of God. Every one of them has numberless pages in the book written about them, the will of God for their life. And I want to tell you, there is no power on the earth or beneath the earth that can keep them from walking in the unfolding of the will of God for their lives. If we keep our eyes on Jesus, the author and the perfecter of our faith, he will open the book. And he will show you and I great and marvelous things that we know not, that he has written over us, that are far greater than what we understand or even could comprehend. They're greater than that. This is what he has for you and for me. Don't weep anymore, is what the angel said. Don't weep anymore. It's not time to cry anymore. It's not time for us to bemoan the things that we have gone through. It's time for us to look to the Lion of the tribe of Judah and allow him to unfold and open and reveal the will of God for our lives. And you are a king and a priest on the face of the earth. And what that means is you and I are called to do his will. And whatever his will is, things like this: greater works than the ones that I did shall you do, because I go to the Father. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, amen. You know, it's time. This region has gotten just a little too comfortable. We've just gotten a little too accustomed to the way things are. It's time for God's people to allow the Lord to open up the book that he has written over our lives and for us to begin to live it, and for this society that surrounds us to begin to shake under the power of what God can do through a life that will be willing to live his will no matter what the cost. Amen. Hallelujah. Oh, amen. I'm telling you, that's possible. Oh, thank you, Lord. That is possible. You know, because God hasn't written any kind of a boring book about you. The book of God concerning your life is not like this. Well, they're going to get up tomorrow, and they're going to shave and take a shower and then go to work. And then they'll come home, and they're going to watch 3 hours of TV and fall asleep there eating donuts. And at the end, you know, get a little bit fatter, you know, and then the next day get up again and go to work, because I got nothing better to do with that one. That isn't in the book. Nothing against donuts in moderation. I love them too, in moderation. Okay? Praise God. No, he's written powerful things. Nikki, I'm supposed to make that a direct statement to you tonight. He's written powerful things in his book concerning your life. And your past mistakes and the devil are powerless to stop him from unfolding them and opening that book if you'll let him and keep your attention on him rather than those circumstances. Amen. He has obtained the power to open the book. He has the authority to open the book of what his will is for your life. Come on. Some of you really should be saying right now, devil, get out of my way. Get out of my way. You have no right to hold back what God is unfolding about my life. And I'm going to live it. I'm going to walk it. I'm going to rejoice in it. I'm not going to weep anymore in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we're going to have a baptismal service now. Hallelujah.